Good evening. Good to see you back out tonight. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 13 tonight. The title of the lesson is The Struggle to Save the Corinthians. As we're coming to the end of the line, one of the main themes is that the Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. And that comes through real clear as we reach the end. And it's obvious it's reaching the end. In verses 1 through 3, Paul's mighty conflict, verse 1, this is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And Paul being a Jew, in Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, is if someone's doing detestable things in the nation of Israel, you want to be fair. One witness is not enough. But if there's two or three witnesses, you stone them. So he's talking about fairness, and he's talking about making sure you're not rushing into something. Deuteronomy 19:15, the same kind of thought there. He's talking about confirming: is this right? Is this really wrong? We're going to purge evil in the nation of Israel, and we need to confirm it. Well, Paul's been there twice, first-hand knowledge. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Chloe's people said there's divisions here, you know, and he's been there twice since then. So, you know, he don't need no hearsay. If he comes the third time and witnesses it, you finally got to do something. Verse 2, I previously said, when present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who've sinned in the past, and to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. And those who've sinned haven't repented, and the rest of you need to understand this is not going to be how you're doing. Glad to see you. We got to do something. And you're thinking about the authority of an apostle. You know, he blinded Elymas there, a magician trying to keep Paulus from hearing the gospel. He blinded him. He had the power and authority to do it. Peter had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever he bound on earth would be bound in heaven and loosed. And I was following that up. And you go back to Matthew 18, and it jumped over to Matthew 18, and it tied directly to this quote in verse 1. Matthew 18, verse 15 through 20, really verse 14, is talking about God not wanting little children to perish. You know, and they end up, somebody leads them into sin, and they stumble and be separated from God. Verse 14, Matthew 18, 14. Thus it is not the will of your fathers in heaven that one of these little ones perish. If you ask God what he wanted for children and their innocence, you'd want them to stay innocent. But it's the world. That's his will, but his will gets thwarted. Verse 15, and if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you won your brother. You know, doing wrong, sometimes you get trapped in things and someone tries to help you. And if you listen, it's wonderful. You and the Lord worked it out. Verse 16, but if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And so he says, you know, it's you and him. He says it's not wrong. You say it's wrong. You say it's sin. So you now go get two or three witnesses. We're going to confirm, is this right? You know, in church, it's about fairness and right, and it's not about rushing to judgment. Verse 17, and if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refused to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. I mean, that's to the Jewish people who despise the most. If you're not going to want to do it right, and two or three witnesses agree it's wrong, you take it to the church agrees it's wrong, and you refuse to change, you're not a believer, you know, and you need to be treated like that. Now, verse 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He's talking about this situation. He's not talking about apostles. That when the church comes to a fair and confirmed decision, the Lord agrees with that. And there's a oneness in that when it's, the fairness is there. 19, again, I say to you that if two or three you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And so we've got, we're talking about relationship with God to come, that two or three Christians agree and it's the right thing, it's not a selfish thing, it's not a wrong thing. Then the Lord, He agrees with them. There's this oneness in the relationship, verse 20, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. And so, you know, one person by themselves, they could be fleshly, they could be self-interest on what they're viewing something, but you get two or three together, a good, decent people, and what? You're going to confirm the truth of the matter, and the Lord's going to agree when you're talking about the truth, and He'll work with you. And we'll see that at the end of 2 Corinthians 13. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3, since you're seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me. You know, their question whether He's not a real apostle, you want to see some proof. Not to the fact that He's done all three miracles, that He's got all the miracles of an apostle. They're wanting proof. They don't want proof in this case. End of verse 3, and who is not weak towards you, but mighty in you. Now these people on the verge of Him not sparing them. And He's talking about Christ working mightily in them. There's still hope. These are Christians who've been baptized the right reason, have the Spirit of God. It's not been separated yet. They're quenching the Spirit, but we're not there. He's working mightily trying to save you people. Verse 4 through 6, He's going to ask the question, is Christ in you? Verse 4, for indeed, He was crucified by weakness, because of weakness, yet He lives because of the power of God. For we who are weak in Him, yet we shall live with Him because of the power of God directed towards you. Hey, Christ is a man, and you can take a man's life. And they did on the cross, but the power of God caused Him to live again. And He's saying in the second half of verse 4, That for we also are weak in Him. And that's the Christian. The Christian is not supermen or superwomen. They have their weaknesses. Yet we shall live with Him because of the power of God directed toward you, the Corinthians. Second time He said that. God's trying to bring power into your life to overcome this thing. And He keeps pointing this toward, directed toward you. It's directed toward all Christians. But He's saying we shall live because the same power is at work in us, but it's going to work towards you. Verse 5, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. I mean, it comes down to it that you got to ask yourself after this long. I've asked two of the women over to Cuba, what were you baptized for? There seems to be some question here about y'all overcoming some problems. And one gave me a good answer and one didn't give me a good answer. And the one that didn't give me the good answer is not in the church today. You know, because I know what church they come out of, and I know how they got into Christ. Test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Are you in the faith, this one teaching that comes from God? Are you outside it? Where are you at here? Look at yourself and ask yourself, are you in it? Secondly, verse 5, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Sometimes we just want the church to be kind of a formal thing, an outward thing, and a distance. Christ Jesus is in you. Now, if you've been baptized in Christ, you're one with Him. He's there. You need to look for Him. He's there. Middle of verse 5, do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? You don't want that to happen. And, you know, we look at ourselves and we're not the same we were 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And that's proof what? That something else is at work in us to change us for the better. So He's wanting them to test ourselves to look. Is Jesus Christ in you? He should be. And that's the conclusion they should draw despite this perilous situation. There's reason to go on. Verse 6, by trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now, you're saying that I'm a false apostle and all these guys with me, we don't fail the test here. Now, you know, he's working two things at the same time. We're trying to direct, you still got power to work on your behalf and get you out of this, but don't push it too far here, because we don't fail the test. Jesus Christ is in us, and I still am an apostle, and we can still move down that road here. Verse 7 through 10, he's doing all not to have to use severity on him. He's doing everything he can not to have to do it. Now, that's like God patiently waiting during the days of Noah. We're given chances here. We're given room. Verse 7, now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Boy, if you can get the members to do no wrong, I mean, the Lord's smiling, you're happy. That's his prayer. Not that we ourselves may appear approved. No, that's not the reason I'm praying for you to do good, that we look good, because we led you there. Secondly, in verse 7, but that you may do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved. So you end up doing good, and you and the Lord are okay, and we look like the bad guys. He said, I can handle that. I'll take the lump. We'll take the lump, me and Timothy and Titus, if you end up doing the right thing. That's the goal, to get people to do the right thing. They can blame the apostle for whatever they want to blame him for. He don't care. The goal is for them to get right with God. So he'll take it either way they want it there. Verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So you got the faith in the truth. We warn them again. We're not backing off of the truth here now. We're showing you love and forbearance and patience, and I'm bending over backward here. I'll take the blame if you can get it right. But the truth is involved here, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. And the bottom line, we're going to stand with the truth when it comes down to it. So don't push it. Verse 9, for we rejoice when we yourselves are weak, but you're strong. Yeah, y'all are thinking y'all are so great. That's okay. We'll be weak. Can you imagine challenging the Apostle Paul in anything? You know, and especially before he was a Christian. But he says, hey, you can call us weak and you strong. If you can get on the right track, we'll take that position too. Verse 9, for we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you're strong. This we also pray for, that you be made complete. You don't want to be lacking as Christians. And you don't want to be lacking at the end. You can be lacking along the way and it's not good, and you struggle and you fall and you fail a lot more. But if you don't stumble to where you can't get up and keep going, everything can be worked out. But his prayer is for them to be made complete. You and I can be made complete where we're not lacking in spiritual things. If Jesus Christ is in you and you let it work, if you're following the faith and the truth, truth will make you free. I mean, with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit working to get you there, that's his prayer, that we be made complete. If you're lacking and then the Lord comes, that might not be a good situation. So his prayer is for them to be made complete. Verse 10, for this reason I'm writing these things while absent. You want to know why I'm writing this? You know, you're talking awful big while you're away from us, is what they're accusing of. And when you get here, you're meek and humble and all that stuff. For this reason, I'm writing these things to you while absent, in order that when present, I may not use severity, in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not tearing down. Now, he has both. If it comes down to it and we've extended all the extra chances, we'll tear it down. If I come one more time, I'm not going to spare anybody. So you people who've sinned and haven't repented, the rest of you people, I'm not sparing nobody. So we need to clean it up before I show up a third time here. And you know, he's got the authority, but he doesn't want to use it for severity on people. He would rather everything be wonderful and happy and everybody praising the Lord and doing the will of God. And what? There's no problems in the church at that point. Verse 11, he gives one last appeal. Finally, brethren, rejoice. be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You're talking about sobering. You want to know how to guarantee the God of love and peace will be with you? All you've got to do is allow certain things to happen. That's all you've got to do. I mean, you don't have to be made complete. You can fight it. You can chase after other treasures. And you're never made complete. Allow yourself to be made complete. Where the removal of a lot of bad things and a lot of the fruit of the Spirit is produced in you, allow yourself to be comforted. There are some hard feelings in this church. I'm a Paul, I'm a Cephas, I'm a Christ, and you know, there's this strife and jealousy. This has been going on for quite a while because Paul's been there twice, Timothy's been there, Titus has been there. This is the third letter. There's some bad feelings. But you know, if you want God working for you rather than against you, and if Paul has to come with severity, Jesus is going, amen. You know, it's going to happen. So, be comforted. Let the hurts go. You know, be, and then he says, be like-minded. Why don't we rally around Christ? You know, who died for you? Whose name were you baptized into? Let's get back to following the faith and the truth. That'll solve all of this. You know, I've said before, I work with elders, and there's no hardly any problems. Nobody's challenging me over this. You work in places where there aren't elders. They think their opinion is as good as the preacher. And they make the mistake, and they made the mistake with Ernest Allen too, that we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all we're doing. It is not about me and my will and what I want done. It's about the will of God. And if you want to push it, we'd be glad to push it. You know, but what? We don't need that. Why don't we just be like-minded and follow the will of the Lord the best we can? And when we're wrong, let's be honest about it. Let's be sorrowful. Let's move on. Let's get forgiveness. And so, finally, brother, rejoice. Boy, they're going to have to look hard for that one. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. If you follow the faith and the truth in your personal life, in the church life, peace ought to be what we see. I mean, love, joy, and peace are the first three of the fruit of the Spirit. The more loving you become, the happier you're going to be. The more joy you're going to have for doing good for others and thinking of others. The more you think of self, the more you're going to feel slighted. And it's going to magnify. And the more you're going to feel put upon, and the less joy and the less peace you're going to have in life, the more aggravation you're going to cause for other people. So if you just follow the faith and truth and let the Spirit work, you'll become like God, like Jesus. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Wow. One of them verses is kind of this way it works. I mean, the God of love. When you do wrong and you really feel bad about it, and God extends you love, mercy, forgiveness, that's a good thing at that point. And He grants you peace. But I'm no longer mad at you, or I'm going to remember it forever because it's the third time you've been back this week. No. If you work with Him, then the God of love and God of peace be with you. Verse 14, He ends the book like this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's His prayer. I mean, you got God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit at work. Jesus died for the sins of the world. I mean, grace can be yours, unmerited favor, even though you're guilty, you were unjust. You know, all can be wiped away. And the love of God to send His Son to die for us. And fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit's within us. It's not something we feel, we sense, but it's urging, nudging us, to the fruit of the Spirit and away from our own desires that are not good for us or everybody else in the church. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. opportunity is there. And this is, we started in verse 2 that I'm not going to spare anyone. I have to show up again. This is the ideal. This is what you can have, even though you're on the verge of being thrown out of Christ Jesus. Boy, you can be thankful that the Lord just throw us out for just one little sin. That lots of times when I think about the elders, and I wouldn't be a good elder because I'd feel the responsibility and I'd press things a little more. Whereas a preacher, I can press them and I can walk away and you've said what you need to say and I can handle that really well. But as an elder, I could probably do it, but it'd be a battle. It's easier somebody else who can do that a lot easier, where lots of times you need to give people a lot more room. I give a lot of room, but you know, you're seeing Paul struggle to get them where they need to be, but he'll take a lot of things and he'll do a lot of things. But then he's got the severity side. He knows is back there behind him if they don't respond. You know, well, God doesn't want anybody to perish, even Saul of Tarsus. He could see where that was going in his life. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He didn't say anything how fast he got up, calling on his name, Acts 22, verse 16. That to get the grace of God and the love of God in your life with forgiveness of sins and baptism, that starts you on the road walking with God. If you're not careful, you can become the Corinthian church, and then somebody's pleading with you, and opportunity's there to have peace and joy and be like-minded and complete and comforted. Oh, we love chaos. We love hating each other. You know, I mean, you can get there when you can have the other. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand and sing?